The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." And then Jesus told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Create in me repentance. You know, we're in such a time of global chaos that it's easy to get nervous, scared, distracted, lose our focus. Just watching the Brexit issue this last week in London, you know, I saw a cartoon of Big Ben that for centuries has been this sign of stability and solidity, right? And in this cartoon, Big Ben was leaning over like the Tower of Pizza, and out of its clock face was squawking a cuckoo bird. You know? The riots in Paris, the conflicts in Syria, Venezuela, you name it. Here in the United States, obsession this weekend with what the Mueller report might say. But you know what? Jesus' time was no different. The oppressive, corrupt power of Rome pressing down on the Jewish nation, which was trying to just hold on to some semblance of control over their own life. And for instance, some Galileans had come from the north down to Jerusalem to protest the oppression of the Roman government, and Pilate, the governor of Judea, as a warning to anybody else who might try such a stunt, had them all executed, but not only that, he took blood from their execution and mixed it with the sacrificial blood of the animals on the altar in the temple, of all places. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? Not unlike the desecration of the mosques in New Zealand last week. You know, and all of that can just get us scared, obsessed, and for sure distracted and off track. Well, Jesus had left dinner at the house of one of the Pharisees, and yes, he was with the Pharisees a lot. He cared about them as much as anyone, but he had just left there, and he was talking to a crowd out in the street, and someone broke in announcing this horrible thing that had just happened at the temple. And underneath it is that old question, I'm sure you heard it murmuring in the crowd, what did they do that deserved such punishment? And that's the question that's at the heart of the book of Job, which those of us who are doing the Bible in 90 days, we're just reading this last week. Why do people suffer? And Jesus' concise response to their question, do you think the Galileans were any worse offenders, sinners, than other people? No. Corrupt, violent governments do things like this to people all the time. But he says this, unless you repent, you're going to die. And then he talks about this temple in Siloam, which was by the pool of Siloam, and it had come crushing down on 18 people and killed them. And he says, now that thing that happened this last week, at the temple of Siloam, Do you think those people were any worse than the other people who live in Jerusalem? No. He says, tragedies like that happen. Kind of reminded me of another one that was just horrendous for us and others. He said, tragedies happen. Floods and hurricanes and earthquakes, they just happen. But the issue for you, he says to them, is that you're letting yourselves get scared and distracted by all these crises and tragedies, whatever's going on out there. He says, listen, you've got your own knitting to tend to. You need to repent of your own stuff, people of God. And so repentance. What is repentance? Well, to illustrate it, Jesus tells this story about a fig tree. And now you need to know that fig trees symbolized a couple things in Jesus' day. His listeners knew this. First, it symbolized God's abundance, God's well-being and shalom for all people. There was a saying among the Jews that's all over the Old Testament, to be able to sit under your own fig tree. It meant living safely in the fulfillment of God's promises, God's goodness for everybody. And for instance, in Micah 4:4, they shall all sit under their own vines and their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid anymore. What a great promise, huh? But secondly, the fig tree was a symbol in Jesus' time of God's chosen people, the people of Israel who are to live as the fig tree of God, whose purpose is to be fruitful, to share God's abundance, God's goodness, well-being. Shalom is a good Hebrew word for that. The shalom of God. They're called blessed to be a blessing, right? Sharing the goodness of God, the justice and mercy of God with the widow, the orphan, for instance, with the poor, and even with the foreigners in their midst. Naturally bearing fruit that comes when we let God's abundance flow through us. But Jesus says that fig tree hadn't been bearing fruit, not being what it was made to be, not doing what it was made to do. So the owner, God, let's say, says to the gardener, Jesus, look, 3 years I've been coming here looking for fruit on this fig tree, and there's none. Just cut it down. It's wasting my resources. And the gardener says, Jesus says, sir, let's just give it one more year. I'll dig up around it. I'll put more manure on it. And then if it bears fruit, great. If not, next year you can cut it down. So what's repentance? It's just this. When we get off track, when we get distracted from being God's people, from letting God's goodness and mercy flow through us, we're called to make a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, so that the love and mercy and goodness of God flows. So repentance is this act of returning to God, back to the source of goodness and mercy that God is, to the one who's always tending to us with loving care, you know, fertilizing us, watering us, giving us everything we need. And Jesus makes it clear that actions and inactions on our part that are contrary to what God wants, they do have consequences. Consequences now in our lives and eternal consequences as well. When we get distracted from what's going on out there, lose track of our relationship with God in here, we can fall into that scarcity thinking. There's not enough, so I'll get mine. We get lost in self-preservation, self-protection. We lose our life purpose, see? We become like dead wood that's good for nothing but the fire. And when we lose track of the fact that God gives to us so that we can give, then the question of Isaiah that you heard earlier becomes a question to us. Why are you spending your money on things that don't satisfy? Or more pointedly in our materialistic culture, why are you spending money you don't have for things you don't need to impress people you don't even like? Right? Ash Wednesday is still ringing in my ears. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where stuff rusts and decays. Store up instead treasures in heaven. Or 2 weeks ago, in the Temptations, Jesus says, you can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The call of repentance, we sang it earlier. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Get yourselves back to the abundant flow of God's goodness and grace. That's where we belong. Because whether you think so or not, God is providing all that you need for this life and the next, and more than enough for you to be generous materially and spiritually, spreading God's gifts all around to those in need. So when we get off track, clam up, lose our purpose, really, Jesus says, wait, God, let's work with these guys a little bit more. I'll dig up the soil, lavish them with a little extra manure, and actually I'll give myself for them, literally. I'll go to the cross, I'll give everything, I'll give myself for them, for their salvation, and then let's see if that'll restore them so they bear your fruit again. By the way, did you notice the nutrient is called manure here? How many of you have ever worked on a farm? Well, okay, then you know what manure smells like, right? I did a lot when I was a kid. My favorite was cow manure. I thought that wasn't so bad. It was even a little bit nicely pungent, you know? But pig manure, oh my goodness. On my internship in seminary, I was in near pig farms in Iowa, and I had clothing a year later that still smelled like pig manure after it had been washed a few times. You know, it was awful. It's terrible stuff. But you know what? God is willing to use everything to draw us back to him. Certainly God works through worship, prayer, fasting, Bible study, and all the other spiritual practices that we're invited to use. And when we've lost track of them, to start over in Lent, right? We set great store on those practices. But God can also use all the icky, smelly, nasty, crummy, painful stuff in your life, even the unfair stuff, and all the crises around us out in the world out there. God can use all of that to draw us back to him, to his provisions, his care, his grace, that are more than sufficient for us, regardless of our attitude about whether it's enough or not. As Isaiah's prophecy spoke to us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, we return to this prayer for this whole season. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And when that happens, every second chance that God gives us time and again, yes, we naturally and even joyfully bear fruit.